Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 7, Chapter 3, A Solemn Appeal. Sanitarium, California, August 1903. I cannot sleep after 1 o'clock. My mind is deeply exercised. A presentation has been given me of our dangers. I am strongly impressed that as a people we must reach a higher standard. Is it possible that at this time, this age of the world, we cannot discern the signs of the times, which our Savior, when he was upon the earth, foretold to his disciples, that he might give the instruction to those who should afterward believe, to help them to prepare for the great conflict? I am instructed that those who follow on in a wrong course, regardless of the lessons taught by the burning of the sanitarium and the Review and Herald office, are revealing the stubbornness of Pharaoh. They are refusing to be admonished by the judgments of heaven, and are pressing on without realizing that these things call them to search their hearts closely and humble themselves before God. Unless they repent, the Lord will surely repeat his judgments, as he repeated them to the king of Egypt. God bears long with the perversity of men. He sends them decided reproofs and clear light. But if they will not receive the warnings of God, if they persist in following their own will, their own impulses, the Lord will send his judgments and will not pardon their persistent determination to be like the people of the world. To invest one person with authority, as has been done in the case of the one who has been standing at the head of our medical work, is forbidden in the Word of God. The Lord will not endorse such movements as our brother has been trying to bring about in his plans. God is not honored. God is not glorified in these movements, which are not according to equity and righteous judgment. His representation is sufficient to convince any mind that is led and taught of God. The Spirit of God, with its restraining influence, is being withdrawn from the earth. All may learn their lesson from the picture now presented in the condition of things in our world. They may see taking place the signs that Christ foretold. Those only who have humbled themselves and kept their eyes fixed on God will be safely hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is their life, shall appear, they will appear with him in glory. I am sorry, so sorry, that men will be willfully obstinate, as was Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But so it is. Let all be warned by the messages sent from heaven. And when any man shall exalt his own ways and his own judgment as supreme, he will come under Satan's jurisdiction and will be led blindfold by him until his spirit and methods will conform to the arch-deceiver, little by little, until his whole mind is under the influence of the spell. The serpent keeps its eye fixed upon a man to charm him, until he has no power to go from the snare. I now say, let all beware of men. Let not those connected with our institutions follow the lead of any man to carry out the policy of the world, for thus they place themselves under the influence of the enemy. And unless the Lord shall interpose, they will have no power to escape from the snare. The Lord is in earnest with us. In his word he has declared that many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They will go to great lengths in departing from God. I have a decided message to bear. Let all take the warning. The enemy desires to have his controversy kept up in his way and after his plan until the harvest is past and the summer ended, and the souls of those who have been leaders under him lost, with those who have been deceived by him. God calls upon his people to take heed and come out of this deceptive controversy. Satan is wide awake, and he will lose no opportunity to bind men and women to his plans, and to fasten them in such a way that before they are aware of it, they will find a yoke of bondage upon them. I am instructed to say to the men in our institutions, be free men. Christ has made you free. Then take your stand as God's property, not to be bought or sold under any circumstances. The Lord calls for volunteers, just as he called the fishermen to leave their nets and follow him, and just as he called Matthew from the receipt of customs. He calls upon them to unite with him, the greatest teacher the world has ever known, and to learn from him how to work for the salvation of souls. Follow me, he says, and many will obey the call. God has men of opportunity who will leave all and follow him. The Lord would not have these men bring into their work the practices they have followed in the past. They are to learn of Christ, his methods and plans. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord would have every physician connected with his work preparing himself by thorough entire consecration for more efficient service. His physicians are not to believe the philosophy of any other physician that lives, unless he reveals the meekness and lowliness, the purity and clearness of principle revealed in the life of the Savior. They are to separate from all that bears not the mark of the strictest judgment and justice. Satan has his allies in men, and evil angels in human form will appear to men and present before them such glowing representations of what they will be able to do if they will only heed their suggestions that often they change their penitence for defiance. I call upon those who would have eternal life to break every yoke. The enlightening of the understanding must become a part of the experience. Sin has darkened the reasoning powers, and hell is triumphing. Oh, will not men cease to trust in human beings? Cannot they discern the excellency of the perfect rule of righteousness that God has given? The Lord calls upon those who once had a knowledge of the truth, but who have backslidden, to return to their first love, and become reformed, regenerated. The eyes of the mind need to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, that they may discern between good and evil. Some concessions have been made, but no thorough work has been done to uproot the evil plant of malice, cherished so long because this person and that person did not coincide with plans and ideas of human invention. The root of bitterness has sprung up into intense life and has borne its poisonous fruit. It still flourishes, for only the tip end of it was plucked off. When sin is removed through the blood of the sprinkling, the soul will be melted by a sense of the love of Jesus and by an abhorrence of sin. Repentance for this or that particular act is not sufficient. The heart must be cleansed. Wrongdoing is the overflowing of the fountain of an unclean and unconverted heart. There are those who, when wrongs have developed, would not say, I have sinned, but have tried to cover up and excuse the sin of the natural heart. But the heart must be changed, else it will ever be sending forth its bitter waters. He who with loathing of soul sees his defective character, which has so long dishonored Christ, and in contrition asks for forgiveness, will save his soul unto eternal life. Such a one will no longer excuse and vindicate actions that have brought reproach on the cause of God. Repentance is genuine when reformation takes place. He is truly repentant, and his heart will be filled with thankfulness that he was not blinded to the very end, when it would have been too late for wrongs to be righted. He will discard the old Pharisaical garment of self-righteousness, and will no longer try to patch it with new cloth. The devil may lock arms with the sinner and say, "Better let things go as they are." If you confess, your dignity will be hurt, and your influence lost. Thus he has gained the victory over and over again. Oh, eternal life is worth everything! And to lose it, the man loses everything. Will he give up the struggle? Will he brave it through in defiance of God? Or will he show his loathing for the sins he has committed and say, "Woe is me, that for so long I have been a transgressor of the law of God. Lord, I know that thy law is holy, just, and good. Woe is me, that I have tried to preserve my dignity, and in so doing have lost so much as a steward of Christ's grace. I have been a transgressor, but I will be so no longer. I will repent. While Christ is still pleading for me in the courts of heaven, I will now come into the presence of the Savior and touch the holy scepter, and if I perish, I perish. My earnest prayer is that not one soul shall continue in transgression and sin. The Lord will surely arouse his people who are watching and waiting and praying. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.